All right, I'm going to start reading here, chapter 3, and verse 5. I had the scripture here. What happened? All right, I'm going to read it starting in verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful or believing Abraham. Praise God. All right, now today we're going to talk from this area of the supernatural, but we're going to take it a little bit different way, put a little bit different turn on it, if you will, go in a little bit different direction. And I just want you to kind of hold on, because what I'm going to tell you is true. And like I said, most of the time what happens is God's people are in the world, I mean, in the kingdom, but still kind of thinking like the world. And so these things are designed to perhaps pull you out of the thinking, change your thinking, make it so that you can really walk in the fullness of the blessing that is offered to you here through the scriptures. All right, now, I just want to figure out where to start here, because I want to finish this in a little time that we have. You and I, the Bible says, have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, let's go over to Matthew's gospel, please. There is a piece of paper that I must have left in my chair or somewhere there. Yeah, that's it right there. Thank you. Okay. And over in Matthew's gospel, did I tell you 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Chapter 13, there's a principle here. And he says in chapter 13, and looking at verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why speaketh thou unto them in parables? And verse 11 says, he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, mysteries are hidden truths. They are, it is knowledge that is beyond human comprehension of a person who is just I'm only human person. It's knowledge beyond that. And then he goes on down. I'm going to skip now. I'm just going to read verse 12 and then I'll skip. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he that has more, he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Now that won't go over well in a lot of circles in this earth today. Look at verse 18, pardon me. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. All right, so he's talking here about mysteries. He's talking about us accumulating knowledge, wisdom. And also in verse 18, he talks about the parable of the sower and sowing seed. He calls it the word of the kingdom. And when the word is sown, if you don't understand it, then comes the wicked one and steals it. Then Jesus still teaching, go over to Luke's gospel in chapter 8, please. In Luke chapter 8, he talks here about, in verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So now he is talking basically about this kingdom. And when Jesus was teaching on this kingdom, one of the things that he was teaching were principles. Principles. And principles are things that cause, it's the cause or the source of something, the origin of anything. It's something by which other things proceed. A principle. Jesus was teaching principles. He was teaching laws. And there are laws that we need today. There are statutes for laws of the universe. There are natural laws. There are judicial laws. Laws. They govern things. And so Jesus was teaching principles. If you remember in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Remember that? Because everything, it comes out of there. So you got to get the foundation of that, the principle of the thing. And he was teaching on the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is run by principles and laws. And Jesus taught that. He taught the law of sowing and reaping. He taught on the law of love. He taught on the laws of leadership. He's teaching all this. So he's just teaching laws. Because what he's saying, if you got the principle, then no matter where you go, whatever the practice is, you stay with the principles. And if you can stay with the principles, these principles will make you successful not one time, every time. Now, of course, over in Proverbs chapter 14, he said in Proverbs, and now Jesus didn't say this, but this is written in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. He said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. And I'm saying that in the kingdom of God, it's higher principles. Well, Satan has nothing new, so he always tries to duplicate what God did. So he has principles, but they're lower principles. Got it? And those principles might seem like they're working. But over in Psalm and chapter 37, he said, fret not thyself, verse 1, because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. So it's amazing how those inferior principles will look for a while like they're working good. So somebody said, well, I'm gonna get revenge because they shouldn't have done me like I'm. Well, wait a minute, is that a higher principle or is there a lower principle? A lower principle. See, I'm gonna just give him a piece of my mind. Is that a higher, well, that's all you got. Is that a higher principle or a lower principle? I was just kidding. You have the mind of Christ.
I think.
Okay. Now, practices change. Principles don't. The value system of this world today is a lot based on practices. What is politically correct? Quick fixes. So we've got to come back to principles, and that's what he did here. So there are principles that you and I can learn that can govern our business. Business principles, success principles of business. You look at people, look at success, and look at people who are successful and so forth. There are some definite principles that you can see in every one of them that are the same. Because they're principles. They're principles for your body. And you know, you just can't eat anything. Am I right about it? I mean, you can eat anything, but you know what you're going to look like if you keep eating it. So what am I saying is that these principles that are the world's principles or lower principles or inferior principles are something that God lifts us out of when we come into the kingdom of God. Because once you come into the kingdom of God, now you're dealing on a higher level with superior principles. And Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And the kingdom coming refers to believers worldwide living by the instructions of God's word and depending on his provision, serving God and obeying the Father and not this world. That's the kingdom. So once we come into the kingdom of God, we have left democracy. And now we're in a theocracy. One God, one rule. And he doesn't ask for a vote or suggestions. Got it? So he gives commands. And he expects obedience. Now, the Bible says that even though these things are true and right, it says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I'm saying that the people who don't know God think some of the principles of God are foolish. It is foolish for you to tithe. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So, God's people, sometimes even though born again, are still thinking like the people who don't know God. And they bring that into the house of God. And all of us were well-trained in that Babylonian system. And we had that culture. We knew it. We knew how to matriculate in it and get things done. So we had the world's way of doing things. But then Jesus comes in with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things shall be added to you. Everything you need. So now, you and I, because we're in the kingdom of God, have a different access. We have access, first of all, to the truth. And you shall know the truth, come on, and the truth will make you free. So we want to know the truth about everything. And that's what you came in here to learn. Even though the truth might, you know, have a little cleansing to it. But I'm going to sit through it because I know this is going to make me free. Now, understand, you got to watch it now because we come out of the system of the world and we can't say, that's too hard. It's only hard if you're not in the kingdom and you don't have access to the supernatural power of God to make it happen. So now, when I look at this, this principle kind of thing is something that you and I need in our lives. And we need it in every area of our lives. We need it in our body, eat the right foods. We need it in our minds, so our minds can be developed. We need it in our money. We need it in our relationships. We need it in our marriage. We need it in our families. So every natural system is governed by principles and by laws. Now, again, the intellectual person may not be able to understand this, and emotionally, sometimes this is tough to receive. But the truth is that there is a law of sowing and reaping. And whatsoever a man or woman soweth, come on, that shall they also reap. So, there is no exception to this rule. When you see a happy, wholesome family, they have a handle on these principles. You can't fake a happy family. They have come into alignment with some principles, and that those principles are governing this marriage or this family relationship and so forth, and you see the outcome of it. You see the fruit of it. So my encouragement to you and I is that we should put these principles first. So as we look on down here, let's look at this foundation. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, please. In Luke chapter 6, and I'm moving fairly quickly only because of time. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not, come on, help me. The things which I say. See, now, why are you going to say I'm Lord over your life, but you won't do what I tell you? And he goes on down and says further, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation up on a what? Rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was what? It was great. All right. Now, you know here, he's not talking about housing projects. Okay? Not in this particular thing. This could apply. But he's saying, why are you going to call me Lord and really not do what I ask you to do? He said, now, whosoever cometh and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'm going to show you like who he's like. He's like a man. Another scripture in Matthew says, a wise man, which built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now, notice what he's doing with this. He's taking time and digging this hole here because he's got something to plant or put here that is going to be have to go on a firm foundation. Got it? And he plants it on a rock, and when the flood came, underline when. Notice it didn't say if. Okay? Because we are in a time now where Satan knows that his time is short. I think that's Revelation 12, 12. He knows that his time is short. And in that shortness of time, he's come with great vengeance. And one of the key people he's acting against are the people of God. So he would come against not only you, but your marriage and your family. Now, that's a flood. But when an enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. But if you have not taken time and taken the Word of God, the Word of the Kingdom, and made it a bedrock of truth in your life, here comes the storm. Is your house going to be standing after the flood is over? And my confession is that it will. Because you're not going to just be a hearer of this word, but you're going to do it as well. Now, this scripture also talks about, you can apply it to the family. And the Bible says over in Psalms and chapter 11 and verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, as you look at this, now just remember what I'm saying now. These are all principles. And you got to stop dealing with this thing emotionally. Well, I don't feel like that's right. What does the book say? So in this, the foundation. And the foundation in this particular case be destroyed could be the Word of God in your life, could be the truth in your life, but the foundation is actually what is at the base of the things that you believe. Man, I'm trying to explain this thing here. In the marriage, that there are principles in a marriage. And one of the principles is love. There is nothing in the Bible, now I'm talking about the Bible now, about falling in love. Can I preach now? Now I know we've listened to those songs and some of our favorite songs. Falling in love, all right. The closest I could come to something like that is when Jacob saw Rachel. Or in Ruth chapter 2, verse 8, when a man named Boaz saw Ruth. Or when Bill Winston saw Veronica. And she couldn't resist all this. No, I was just kidding. All right, come on, let's keep going. See, if you can fall in, come on, help me now. You can fall out. I don't love him anymore. See? Well, that love that you had was based on something called human love. Phileo. We get our word Philadelphia. Phileo, brotherly love. It was not based on the superior love that comes from superior systems, which is a superior principle called love, called agape. Unconditional love, and it is not a feeling, it is a decision. I have decided to love you. And God made a decision. He decided to love you. And there is nothing you can do to change his mind. And he is making you exactly like him. Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is a gift. And when he gives you the gift, you then decide when you want to give it away. Got it? So you use it. You invest that gift. So this is the person you want to spend your life with. You decide, I'm going to love her. Boom, pow, marriage is consummated. That's it. Now I'm not talking about who's going to be shaky and who's going to be there. Now I'm talking about God leading you. God, because it can't be by, ooh, look at that. I think I want that woman. No, can't be all of that because that's juicy, juicy, feely, feely. I like you right now until I get with you. And now you hit it and you're gone. All right, now, come on. See, when we talk about the supernatural, it's almost like, see, people say, well, we need some marriage counseling. This is marriage counseling, man. That's the same principles work in business, they work in marriage, they work in ministry, they work all every area in education. The same principles I'm up here teaching every Sunday are applicable to this right here. Say amen, somebody. So love. God. He's the source of that. It's not an emotional hype. It's a decision. Now, true enough, it would lead to emotional ties and so forth like that, but it starts with a decision. I decide to love you. Now, verse Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Now, I'm not going to go to all this. If they can pop them up there on the board real quick, hopefully, prayerfully, they can put them up on the board. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, what? Love your wife. Now, what kind of love is that? You don't love her because she's doing everything right. You know what I mean? If she one night said, no, I ain't doing it. Is that going to change your love? Let me ask this side. Is that going to change your love? I'm going to help you now because, see, the enemy is after our marriages. He wants to destroy them. And man, some of these things here, I'm going to show you what you have to work with, but some of these things, you know, you come back and you drop back into some prayer and find out, okay, God, now this looks like a stronghold. This looks like a trial here. This looks like a, hey. Then you go to the scripture. Well, wait a minute. There is no temptation taken me. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Just pop it up there on the board right quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. Come on. Above that you're able, but will with the trial or temptation or test, he'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Man. So notice, Babylon is a system or society that trying to meet its needs without God. And what the enemy is trying to do is trying to wipe out the word in your relationship. He is trying to make you forget about God. When you got the problems in your marriage, forget about God. You got a problem with those kids, forget about God. I'm gonna just worry all night because I just, no. That kid rolls off and gets a strain or whatever have you. It's interesting how there's something inside of them when you pray for them, that God will awaken something inside of them. Watch this, that in their heart, they want you to come after them. They want you not to give up on them. It's in their hearts, man. God can do it. But if you think like Satan wants people to think, and that it's a lost cause, oh man, this thing is hopeless. Hopeless? You were hopeless. And the thing about it is God brought you out of the fire. Say amen to that. Well, that's what love will do because love never fails. That's a principle. Man, how many times did the children of Israel go and do strange, crazy stuff and so forth? But God said something. Can a woman forget her suckling child? He can't forget you, man. He's a covenant-keeping God. Once he makes a covenant, that's it, folks. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Now, I'm going to talk about the things, the principles of marriage, that things that we should do because a woman is made different from a man. He can go to the Bears game and see him win. That took me back for just a minute there, I tell you, bro. But I'm praying. But a woman, she's different. It didn't say she is the weaker vessel. It says treat her as the weaker vessel. Man. You know she's not weaker. You try to have a baby. You try to have one. You know, don't make me go off on you here. Oh, yeah. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The enemy's trying to eliminate the truth in your life, the word of God in your life. Praise God. All right, now, let's keep going. Let's go to Titus in chapter 2, please. Titus, chapter 2. Amen. I'm just trying to bring it home, that's all. I'm letting you know that these principles that I'm teaching are for any areas of life. Most people don't teach on a principle level. They teach on a practical level. If I teach on a principle level, then apply it to every part of your life. Look at Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Are you there? All right, look what it says here. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to do what to their husbands? Oh, not husband just love your wives. Wives, you love that man. The best thing that a man feeds off of is respect. If respect, I mean, you tell him he got muscles if he ain't got a muscle in his... I'm telling you. You don't tell him, and then somebody out there in the street, he comes up to get him some water out of the water fountain, and somebody says, "Ooh, your muscles are showing through your shirt." And when that man came, lift 50 pounds. And the devil knows it. All right, look at Matthew chapter 22, please. Oh, we're bringing it on home, saints. It's going to be all right for you. Matthew chapter 22. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? Look now at verse 37. Verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All your heart. And all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. First, you got to love God. For you to love anybody else, you got to love Him. Because He gives you the ability that you can love even people when they're unlovable. Now, in John chapter 14, if you look at that, and over at John chapter 14, he says here in verse 21, He that has my commandments and keepeth them, that's the one that loves me. Because a lot of people say, oh, I love the Lord. Okay, are you doing what He says? Yes, sir. So, as we look at this, love is a gift. And you get in the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about things. And because you get the Word of God, the Bible says, Bishop Oedipo commented on the fact that hearing God is a stronghold of faith. You step back, you got a problem, you step back and hear God. And once you hear His voice, nothing can talk you out of it. And watch this, He's got wisdom as to how to do anything. We need God back in it. And I'm telling you, the enemy wants to talk you out of using your relationship with God. Now, in that, the Word of God is the controlling factor. And in my life, I gotta finish. In my life, when I was up against it and I'd gotten married and missed about 6 months into our marriage, and then the devil tried to assault my marriage and came in and told me that, you know, she can't cook, look at that, now watch this, cut the meat, watch the meat, cut the meat, watch this. You can't even cut it, can you? Now, I can cut it now. I'm gonna let that be on the books because my wife is sitting here, but the meat cuts. It's very nice now, very nice. And, but it's just one thing after another. That time I was having problems with my feet, And I asked her to bring me some water. I put my foot in. Oh, that's too hot. Now, see, why did you bring? Are you following what I'm saying? Why? So the enemy is talking to me. He say, well, you married the wrong woman now. See? And so what did I have to do? I went to a meeting. And a man was preaching. Then I came out based on what he was preaching in a little book called Praying God's Word. And I got that book. And I flipped to the section on wives. Because there's nothing wrong with me. Father, I thank you, and I pray and believe that, and you put her name in there. Veronica is a capable, intelligent, virtuous woman. I praise you that I've found her. She is far more precious than jewels. Her value is far above rubies and pearls. My heart trusts in her confidently and relies on her and believes in her safely so that I have no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. She will comfort and encourage and only do me good as long as there's life within her. Rising while yet it is night, she gets spiritual food for the house and assigns her maids their task. Veronica expands prudently, not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming others. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. Veronica looks well on how things go in our household. The bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity, she will not eat. Father, I thank you that Veronica respects me, reverences me, notices, regards, honors, prefers, venerates, esteems me. She defers to me, praises me, loves me, admires me exceedingly. I praise you that the word is working in our marriage and we've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our mind. And my mind would say, that ain't true. Don't read that no more. All right, come on over to Matthew chapter 15. I'm building on a rock. See, the first thing that was wrong with me is I had the wrong image of marriage. And a part of the truth won't set you free, won't make you free. The truth will make you free. And look what it says here. It says in verse 13, and he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Rooted out. The Word of God is designed for hostile environments. The Word of God, when you get in it, you got to dig for a while. You got to get down there. You got to go down there and get down to some solid rock. You got to confess this thing until it's more than just words to you. It becomes alive inside of you. It grows up to be a new image in you. All you see is a woman who's virtuous. All you see is somebody that loves you, that admires you exceedingly. Say amen to that. Now, all of a sudden, when that image changed, notice the meat is tender now. I can cut it, and the water is just right for my feet. They got healed now, but it's just right for my feet. Understand, what did I do? I took words that were from heaven, and I sowed them as seed in this earth. I'm the earth. And the next thing I know, I got a marriage made in heaven. Now, understand, a marriage is just like me, a fly airplane, taking off from one destination, going to another. Take off from New York City, going to California. I'm going to California. By the time I get to California, 90% of my flight has been making corrections. Why? Variable winds. Why? Had to go around a storm. Why? Traffic in the air traffic controller directing me around. Corrections. And you're going to make some mistakes, but corrections. And you'll end up at your destiny. A marriage made in heaven. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Amen. I said, amen. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. That's the first step to getting things right in your life. So if you're here, you know that God is speaking to you right now that you need to come into the kingdom. I'd like to invite you to allow me to pray for you. Same thing that they prayed for me years ago up there on the north side of Chicago.